Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We continue today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. We've been looking at verse number 3, which says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." And so last time we looked at the issue of what exactly is fornication, why it is that the Apostle Paul is starting to deal with this when he's speaking to these saints in Thessalonica. And what we're going to do today is really talk about this issue of, you know, what is sin, since he's bringing up an issue of a very particular sin, and what it is that, you know, the way that an individual today in this dispensation really should be viewing that whole issue. Because so many individuals today really struggle with that idea, and they struggle with it because of how it is that modern Christianity really looks at the whole idea of what is sin, and tries to put it as that an individual still has the issue of sin in their life, to where it becomes that you have to be confessing things and turning your life to in a way to really earn the salvation that we already have. And once we put our trust in the gospel message for today, let's read that gospel message. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to read the first four verses of the chapter, which says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So we see an issue of speaking of this gospel message, and we see how it says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And so what we're going to see is that the whole issue of sin has been taken care of for us today. And when we're talking about sin, we have to have the understanding of how the Scriptures actually define the issue of sin that has been taken care of. And let's go over to 1 John chapter number 3. And we're going to see how John is going to define what sin is here. And this is the sin that was taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in 1 John chapter number 3, we're going to read here verse number 4. It says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." So this is the sin that's going to lead to the wrath of God. This is the sin that would lead to the second death, that eternal punishment away from God. And that sin is the transgression of the law. So, in order for this sin to be dealt with, the whole issue of the transgression of the law would have to be in place for individuals during this dispensation. And that's what we see that the Apostle Paul talks about through his epistles, identifying the fact that the law has been removed. And if the law has been removed, we can't transgress something that's not there. And if you can't transgress something that's not there, you cannot commit that sin, which means you can't face that wrath of God, and there's no reason for a individual to have to face that second death. And we see how Paul defines these things as he's writing his epistle to the assembly at Rome. And let's go over to Romans chapter number 4. And we're going to see as we go through this epistle that he's going to be saying things that are giving us this clear indication that the whole issue of sin has been taken care of. That's why he says here in chapter number 4, let's read verse number 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So if the law is taken out of the way, then there would be no transgression of that law. Let's turn over now to chapter number 5. And we're going to see here in verse number 13, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. So the issue of sin being put to somebody's account, there's no way for sin to be put to somebody's account when there is no law. So you start seeing how the whole process of what that sin is starts to break down from the point of what the scriptures are saying for us today as the law is being removed. It breaks that whole issue of that sin, which means that it is impossible for an individual today to commit that sin. We're going to come back to the book of Romans, but I want to go over to Galatians chapter number 3, because we're going to see how Paul's going to make it very clear here about this issue of the law being taken out of the way. Galatians 3, let's read verse number 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, the Apostle Paul states that the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He bought us back from the issue of the law, so that way it would not have any sort of impact on who we are today. This is one, like I said, we're going to go back to the book of Romans. Let's go back to Romans and we'll go to chapter number 6. And we're going to see how Paul makes these statements here, showing this clear thing of what is going on. Romans chapter number 6, and we're going to start here verse number 3. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So, as Paul is speaking about the identity that we have. He shows how we are identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of being identified with those things, we see how Paul makes it clear, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And if you've been made free from something, it means that it no longer has any impact on who you are. Sin does not have an impact on us today. That's why you see how, when you turn back to chapter number 3, that when Paul says this, and people make, you know, they take the words and they kind of twist them around because they don't like what's being said here. But we're going to start here at verse number 23 of Romans 3, when it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So as Paul's defining this issue of justification and showing that justification is without the deeds of the law, we see how there's a remission here, and it says the remission of sins that are past. Now, he doesn't bring up any issue of present or future sin. Now, the result of that is where people start twisting things around, and they'll read it as if it's talking about past, present, and future sin. Or they'll start talking about, okay, well, it only takes care of the sins that are past, but now you have to do things that are going to take care of the present and future sin. Paul says this for a very particular reason about the fact that it's the sins that are past. Because the result of what this is means that there's no sin that can be put to somebody's account because of those verses that we had just read in chapter 4 and chapter 5 and chapter 6, showing how a person was removed from the issue of the law. Because we're removed from the issue of the law, we cannot transgress the law, which means we can't commit that sin, which means it can't be put to our account, which means there's nothing that has to be remitted as a result of that. You know, and that's why you get so much confusion that comes about from individuals who are teaching things of the scriptures, because, you know, the reality of how to try to get somebody to be doing the quote unquote right things is, well, if I just teach them that they're going to be committing a sin that could separate them from God in any sort of way, then I have that kind of control over them in that, and it'll force them to walk right. Well, there's things of what the scriptures say I'm really thinking, that's why Paul's talking about the practical things in his epistles, because there is a reason of why we should do that. We're going to come to that in a moment. But I want to go to Romans chapter 8 first to show how, you know, again, Paul's coming to this conclusion here. And we're going to read the first few verses of Romans chapter 8, which says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And again, talk about this idea of being made free from something. Now it's the fact of the law of sin and death. And he even gets into the thing of where the fact that we're not walking after the flesh. Because if we were walking after the flesh, the only conclusion you can come to is that there would be condemnation to the individual. That's why in verse 8 when he says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And then verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." He makes it very clear that a person does not bounce back and forth between the things of the flesh and the things of the Spirit. You know, that's your walk, because if it's your walk, that's where you're being identified. And if you're being identified in the flesh, you're not pleasing to God, and you can only have condemnation come upon you. And this is why we had to be made free from this and put in a position to where there was nothing that we could do that could ever put us back in a position to where we would have to worry about the things of our performance impacting our salvation. Now, the Apostle Paul, as you continue reading through his epistles, does bring up an issue of sin still. And people say, well, see, he's bringing this up, which means that we're still being influenced by it. But we also see how the Apostle Paul, as he is, you know, going further into this epistle in the book of Romans, is going to define sin at that point and change it to where we have an understanding of what this is. And he says here in chapter number 14, verse number 23, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now that's a completely different sin than the transgression of the law. And because this is a completely different sin, it has a completely different result that comes about when a person performs this sin. You know, the sin that was the transgression of the law led to that death and separation from God. This sin doesn't lead to a separation from God. This is the sin that builds the wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ, which causes us to lose rewards. But we still have our salvation because we have the promise of that of eternal life. We have the seal of the Spirit that keeps us in the body of Christ. So, though with those things being true and seeing how there's this sin, you know, so then we have to understand, well, when he says whatsoever is not of faith is sin, then we have to, well, what is faith that Paul is talking about? And we know from, again, this book of Romans, if we turn back to chapter number 10, he defines how we understand what faith is in verse number 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So it's the word of God which is going to produce faith in an individual. And when we talk about the word of God, we always know that there is a principle with the word of God that we have to understand, which is study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That there's the issue of rightly dividing God's word to understand it. Okay, here is the doctrine that I need for today, understanding that it's coming from the Apostle Paul, who is the Apostle of the Gentiles. So it's only going to be in Paul's writing that we're going to find information that's going to speak about how it is that we should be living our life that's going to produce that faith. That's why we see how Paul describes, let's go to Ephesians chapter number 2. And we're going to see here in this passage how Paul's going to explain this viewpoint of the things of how it is that we are to live our life. When he says, he will start at verse number 8 of Ephesians 2. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're going to stop here for a moment. We're going to read verse 10 right after. Verses 8 and 9 are ones that so many people love to talk about, but it's, you know, we're saved by grace through faith. It's nothing of us. You know, it's all God's gift. And they'll leave off verse number 10, talking about the fact that we're created unto good works, that God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's the whole difference between when we're talking about the things of the law with the nation of Israel, where they had to perform, and if they were not performing, there was going to be a loss of salvation for them because they were outside of God's will, as opposed to where Paul says that we should walk in them. So there's an issue of, you know, it's not a guarantee that we're going to walk in these things. We should, and if we do, then we're building the gold, silver, precious stones. If we don't, then we're building the wood, hay, and stubble. We see, let's go over to Titus chapter number 2. And we again see here in the book of Titus, showing that it's the grace of God that's going to be accomplishing these things for us. Verse 11 of Titus 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So we see how it's the grace of God, you know, first of all, that brings salvation to all men. So all of mankind has access to the grace of God. But it's also the grace of God that's going to, it says that teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So it's the grace of God that's going to teach us, here's the things that you should be avoiding in your life that would make you pleasing unto God. And it's the grace of God that's going to say, here's the things that you should be doing in your life that's going to make you pleasing unto God. So it's the grace of God that's going to give us the things of what not to do and what to do in order to live our life according to how God would have us function during this dispensation. And so we get that full understanding of things from his word, and we know how it is that we should be actually functioning today to where we could actually be pleasing in that manner. Now, next week, we're going to start verse number 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of previous messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.